So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, if you could, please, before we start. If you are here and if you are married or if you're in some kind of relationship with someone, could you make sure you're sitting by your spouse this morning? Whatever that takes, like make sure you're sitting by your spouse. And if you could do something, too, if you could actually, like, ask you to do something really uncomfortable, is to hold their hand during this entire message. Susan, you stay down there. We're close enough. But if you could do me a favor, please, if you focus for a second, sit by your spouse. Don't leave a seat between you. If you could actually grab their hand today during this message, if that makes you uncomfortable, let's break that, okay? Let's break that. I want to talk to you today about foundations. I today, after our service, I can't go and try out for the MBA. And there's reasons I can't. Number one is the length of my legs, but number two is I have never practiced basketball before. I have never put in the effort or the energy that it takes to play on my great nephew's basketball team, let alone the NBA. I have not put in the work. I have not hired a coach. I have not put energy into playing for the NBA. And it's not speaking out against any faith that I have in God. It's not going to happen. That's a mountain that I could say move, and it's not going to move. And that's because I have never laid the foundation for that to happen. I can't go in today and apply for a job today as the next surgeon in the cardiovascular department at the Salem Hospital because I did not go to medical school. I did not put in the money, the energy, or the effort to build a foundation on a medical career that I could never have. And so if I were to show up today at some sort of open tryout to get on any kind of basketball team, or if I were to go apply for any kind of medical position, I can't be ticked off if I don't get hired or if I don't get invited to join the team because I never put in the effort. Some of you treat your marriages the same way. Your marriages are struggling, maybe crumbling or falling apart. Your relationships, maybe friendships, dating relationships might struggle. You might have blown out every relationship you've ever had. And I'm not here to bring shame, but I want you to know that if you want a relationship to last, it's going to take work. If you want a relationship to last, it's going to take effort. If you want a relationship, a friendship, a family relationship to last, it is going to take sacrifice. It is going to take commitment. And here's the bad and the good news I have for you today. I want you to know, number one, it's not possible to have a good relationship. But with God, all things are possible. Let me say that again, because I mean every word I just said. Your relationship going well is not possible. But with God, all things are possible. Put that a different way, Pastor. Okay, it's not going to work without Jesus. It's not going to work without Jesus. And so I want to talk about foundations today. The foundations that we build our relationships on, the foundations our relationships are built on, and then the relationships that our foundations, our relationships will continue to build on. Can you get my notes for me, Susan? I think they're there. But last week, we opened up this series called Don't Swipe Wrong. And in that particular series, we started to talk about this big idea that might have blown up some of your kind of opinions or your foundations of what relationships are. And I talked about the idea that in our culture today, our culture tells us that the reason and the purpose for relationships is happiness. That we go in relationships in order to be happy. And so when someone does not make us happy any longer, which usually takes about 2 years, we will blow out that relationship and we will make ourselves ready for a new relationship, looking for someone to make us happy. And the moment that they don't make us happy or the moment we don't make them happy, we get on out again and we keep going and going and going. We never actually find what we're looking for. And that's because the purpose of relationships is not happiness. The purpose of relationships is this. Relationships are all about presence, being present with someone. Relationships are about companionship, the companionship that you have with the person you're in relationship with. Relationships are all about commitment, and relationships are all about sacrifice, giving yourself for the good of someone else. And so these are things that relationships survive, last, grow, bond us, and even thrive with in the absence of happiness. I taught you last week that your bonds with others, your bond with people does not grow in happiness. Your bond with people doesn't grow in the good vacations and in the good dates that you go on. Those things are important and those things help build foundations. But the bond that you share with someone actually grows through hardship. The bonds that grow in relationships grow through difficult times that we go through. I want to tell you, relationships were actually made for hard times. Relationships were built to help allow someone else to be present with you when you go through dark times. God told Adam, it's not good for people to be alone. And I made this big statement last week that is scientifically proven and spiritually proven through scripture that it's not possible to be human outside of relationship. You're not human if you're not in relationship. I didn't say sex, I didn't say marriage, I said relationship, friendship, companionship, family systems. You cannot be human outside of relationship. The moment that you isolate yourself from relationship, you are no longer human any longer because you don't have the ability to see yourself, let alone someone else. The purpose of relationship is to know someone and to know yourself, and you can't know yourself apart from someone else. And we wrapped up last week with this idea that marriage is not for happiness either. That the definition of happiness is essentially convenience, and marriage is absolutely not convenient. The definition of marriage does not equate to happiness, but instead marriage is about sacrifice. That's why the Bible says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church, giving himself up for her. The Bible says, this is love, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. If you want to love someone, it's going to require sacrifice. And so I would propose to you, like I did last week, that the purpose of marriage is not happiness. The purpose of marriage is actually holiness. And I can say that because the Apostle Paul says that marriage is a mystery. And he says, I'm talking about Jesus and the church. That somehow our marriages reflect the relationship of Jesus to his bride, the church, and that somehow the more we sacrifice, the more we give, the more we care, the more we give up, the more we love, the more we're present, the more we offer companionship, and the more we share hearts with one another, stand in front of one another naked with no shame, the more and more God cultivates that and makes us more and more like Jesus Christ. And so marriage, it doesn't make you whole like the other person completes you, but it is part of God's plan in making you holy, because when you're married, you're going to find out just how selfish you are and how dependent you are upon an outside source. I tell people having children shows you how evil you are, but having a wife or a husband, it shows you how selfish you are. And so if the title of this series is Don't Swipe Wrong, and if we're going to today we will focus on romantic relationships. So if you're single, widowed, divorced, sworn off romantic sexual relationships for the rest of your life, like, still listen, because this message is for you. It can grow you, it can cultivate you, and it can help you help others. And so some people are like, I'm tuning out because the pastor is saying that married people are more important than single people in the church. And this is what the church always tells me, and I'm single and I'm never going to belong. Let me tell you, single people, your life is way easier than married people. It just is, okay? I know there's difficulties, I know there's hardship, but you got a lot going for you. And so if God brings you someone else, so be it. Awesome, we'll celebrate you, but I want to celebrate your singleness today. Singleness is a beautiful thing, and Paul tells us we can actually commit more of our time to the Lord through being single. And so I just would encourage you, there is no condemnation, there is actually celebration at this church for single people. And so all the single ladies and all the single brothers say amen. Amen. Okay. So singleness is okay. And being married is okay as well. So track with me. Come back. Move beyond the Beyonce reference. Come on back. I had a conversation with my best friend's dad the other day. He wanted to know what Beyonce was. I told him it was a skin condition. I had him going for a long time. Told him his son had it. It was great. He caught it bad ways, too. Okay, so here's the deal. How do we not swipe wrong? Last week, we kind of touched on that for a minute. How do you not swipe wrong? You don't swipe wrong in relationships by just having proper expectations. The expectation that this relationship doesn't exist to make me happy. First of all, that's going to help you start swiping right more than wrong. Another thing that we do if we want to make sure we're swiping right and not wrong when it comes to relationships is we want to make sure that we are choosing people. We are choosing the person we want to be in relationship with, and that the day that we choose them above all others and forsake all others and keep only unto them, like the marriage vows say, that we keep choosing them day after day after day after day. Love is a choice. It is a commitment. Being in love comes and goes. If you're married, there will be many, 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 many times where you will not be in love with your partner, but you choose to love them despite not feeling in love. Amen? And so you choose even when you don't feel. God, we give you permission for our hearts. That means you choose even when you don't feel. And so those are some ways you can start right. But I want to tell you, part of swiping right is the structure and the foundation of your relationship to begin with. Part of swiping right and not swiping wrong is the foundation and structure of your relationship that you continue to build once it actually begins. Because here's the deal. You're always choosing. You're always laying the foundation for, and you are always building the relationship you desire. Let me say that again, because some of you didn't get it. You're always building the relationship you desire. You're always laying the foundation of the relationship you desire. You're always choosing the relationship you desire. And you're like, well, Pastor, my husband's not doing that. I'm not talking about him. Pastor, my wife's not doing that. And I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about you and me. You and me, we are always choosing, building, laying the foundations for the relationships we desire, whether we are on our first date or we're out to dinner for our 30th wedding anniversary. You're always choosing. You're always building. You're always laying foundations. If anybody has any good first date stories, come talk to me after church. There's some. I've heard some good ones, some really good ones. They're like, there was no foundation that was laid. Keep on trucking. Keep moving. Amazing first date stories out there. But you're always choosing. And so I want to ask you the question today. Here's the question for you. How do you, when it comes to relationships, what foundation do you build a relationship on? What foundation do you build your romantic relationships on? And before we go any further, listen up. Forget relationships. Forget relationships. What foundation is your life going to be built on? Because you're not ready for a relationship if your own life doesn't have a foundation. Why bring something broken in to something that's broken and expect it to stand? If you want to build a foundation for your relationship, either before your relationship ever starts or if you're in a relationship right now, I want to encourage you to find a foundation to build your life on. And you need to know what foundation to build your life on. And I want to tell you today, talking about relationships, that the foundation to build your life on and your relationships on is actually a foundation in Christ. It is. Well, Pastor, you're just saying that because you're a pastor. No, I'm saying that because I've been through hard times. I'm saying that because I know firsthand. You build relationships on a relationship with Jesus. You build your own foundation on a relationship with Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, I'll put part of it up on the screen, but essentially, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? And his disciples start to give him some answers, and he says, okay, that's great, but who do you say that I am? And Peter looks at Jesus, and he says, you are the Christ. That means you are the anointed one. You are the sent one. You are the Messiah. You are the Savior that our people have been waiting for. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. To call someone in around the year 30 AD, in a Jewish culture, the Son of the living God, that would be saying to Jesus, you're God. You're worthy of all worship. You're worthy of all praise. You're the creator of all things. You and the Father, even though I don't fully understand it, are one. He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, you're right. In fact, you're so right that you couldn't have come up with that on your own. It was my Father who revealed to you from heaven that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. We're talking about foundations. On this rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he says, I'm going to build my church. And if you're here today and you're calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, whether you hate church or like church, I've got news for you today. You're a part of the church if you are a part of Jesus. And Jesus is building you on the foundation, the rock, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And unless you have a relationship with Jesus, and your life's foundation is built on him, you have no foundation to build a relationship on. So, Pastor, are you saying you're not going to pray for me to find the one? You're not going to pray for me that I have the perfect spouse, the perfect husband, the perfect wife to get married to? I say, I don't really care about that. Let's focus. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Christ? Because I tell you what, your future husband that you're dreaming about, he is not going to fulfill you, by the way. Your future wife is not going to fulfill you. In fact, they never will. And if you think they will, you're going to be highly disappointed. You need to find fulfillment in one thing, in one person, in one relationship alone, and that is Jesus. And all the sexual relationships in the world, all of the butterflies you feel in your stomach in the world, all of the heart palpitations that you feel as you think about someone, as dopamine and hormones and testosterone flows through your body, I want you to know that's not love. That's something good, but it's not love. Love is commitment, choice, presence, companionship, sacrifice, giving of oneself to someone else, that you will never find contentment in your life or fulfillment in your life outside of the relationship with Jesus. You just got to know that. And you're going to be taking all sorts of hit as the pitcher throws the ball your way, and you're going to just simply strike out every single time if you're just missing the boat on the relationship that actually counts and actually matters. You got to build a relationship on Christ, and unless you have, you've got no business building another relationship, because it ain't going to work. And so how do you not swipe wrong? How do you build foundations if you've given your life, if you're pursuing Jesus with your life, if the foundation of your life is in Jesus, and if you're single or even if you're already married? How do I build a foundation for my future marriage or my marriage? Look at this strange verse here. This verse gets people upset, and everybody tries to like make excuses for the Bible and try to explain what it means while trying to actually make it mean something that it doesn't. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. At some point in time, I was talking to one of my children about someone of the opposite sex that they had a crush on, and I asked some real serious questions. It was my daughter. She's not in here right now, I don't think. And I said, hey, Kylie, this person that you've got a crush on, do they love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their mind, soul, heart, strength, everything? It's like, Dad, I don't know. Has this boy confessed with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead? I haven't asked him that, Dad. Well, you better ask. Has this boy called upon the name of the Lord to be saved? Dad, I'm not sure. Well, you better find out. Has this boy put his faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, who gave his life for the propitiation of their sins? Have they trusted in the free gift of grace that God alone gives and not in their works, so that that boy may not boast? Does he understand that he was created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that he should walk in them? Dad, I'm not sure. Does he tithe? Dad, I don't know. Seriously. Well, he's not going to ever walk you into real blessing if he's not tithing. If he's not willing to give his first and his best, he's not going to give it to you. Amen? Is he involved in a local expression of the global body of Jesus Christ, of all who are called to the same spirit and belong? Dad, I'm not sure. Well, you better find out. Does he know John 3:16 by heart and Ephesians 2:8 through 10? If not, he's not the guy for you. Can I take a look at his tree and see what kind of fruit his life is bearing? What spiritual gifts has the Lord blessed him with, and is he being a good steward of those and using them to bless the church and reach unbelievers and then bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can one day have the crown of life and have a great reward in heaven because of his efforts here on the earth? Dad, I don't know. Okay. Well, you don't bring no boy over to my house to ask if he can have you out for a date until we know those things. So what do I need to do to have a good foundation? Like, how many of you would like to have a pastor for a dad? If you're not in a relationship, what kind of stuff are we talking about here when it comes to building relationships? So 2 Corinthians 6:14, it says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. A yoke is this farm tool, essentially. It would connect two ox. I think they become oxen when there's two. But to connect two oxen so that when they're pulling a plow, they're pulling simultaneously in the same direction. And so Paul says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. You see, so many Christians who are desperate for a relationship because they're looking for the wrong thing will say, well, Pastor, that's just a suggestion from the Bible. And I don't know what part of do not sounds like a suggestion. But the Bible, God's word says, do not be unequally yoked. This is a command for believers from the word of God. You see, well what's the problem, Pastor? The problem is you're going to be pulling in two different directions. Why would you even start something that's going to be pulling in opposite directions before you ever start plowing the field? You can't get frustrated with someone who's not a Christian when you willfully entered into relationship with someone who does not belong to Christ and you expect them to start acting like Jesus, but they don't even know Jesus yet. You can't expect a non-believer to act like a believer. It is not possible because their lives and hearts have not yet been changed by the power of the Spirit working within them. You'll share no true fellowship with the unbeliever you enter into marriage with, because the one thing you're supposed to unite in fellowship with someone else more than any other thing, you won't be able to have in common. That's hard. The thing you're supposed to bond and connect over more than any other thing, you're not going to be able to enjoy is one flesh. We talked about last week that one of the purposes of relationship is to be naked with no shame. How could you ever be naked with no shame if one of you is busy covering yourself in shame? Listen to that again. How could you ever be naked with no shame with the one you love if one of you is always covering themselves in shame? Never free in Christ from condemnation, shame, and judgment. One more thing, if a relationship was to be lived out naked with no shame before God, how can your relationship ever thrive if it's not entered into, rejoiced over, consummated in, and lived out before God? How can two really messed up people ever come together in commitment on anything without the Spirit of God living in and working through each one? So friends, your dating relationship, your marriage, you may be enjoying some things, and I'm not telling you to break it off if you're in one right now, but I'm just telling you it's not going to work without Jesus. It's just not. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to lead you on. It's not going to work without Christ. It's not. Well, Pastor, you don't know my situation. Sadly, I've seen way too many of those situations. See, I said when we started, marriage is impossible. I want you to know that marriage is impossible. Marriage is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So, Pastor, how can you say marriage is impossible? Have you ever been married before? You ever seen marriage before? It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I'll just go down this trail for a second. And this always offends someone. And I usually get an email or someone complaining to me after the service when I say this. I just got to be obedient. Listen up. So many young people, older people, those 60-year-olds in the single groups, so many people say, oh, pastor, I got a good relationship. And if I'm being a good pastor, a good shepherd, people are like, awesome. Well, what church they go to? Awesome. You know, how long have they been serving Christ? And the answer usually is similar to a goat. The answer is usually, meh. They believe in God. Okay? So do a lot of other religions. About 90% of our nation actually believes in God. That's not what I asked you. Do they love Jesus? Do they have a relationship with Christ? Have they been saved by the grace alone of Jesus through faith? They believe in God. And if I'm really feeling feisty, I'll say, hey, the Bible says demons believe in God too. And they shudder. And so I know I'm not saying this to belittle anybody. I'm saying this to save you heartache. Someone's belief in God does not make them a Christian. Amen? Pastor, they go to church. Well, that's nice, but do they love Jesus? Because going to church does not make someone a good spouse. Being connected with Christ does. Do they know Jesus? Usually when I say this, people will start a new relationship and they'll bring their new person to church and avoid me. Because he's gonna be checking for fruit. I'm not gonna be doing that. But I'm just gonna tell you now before you get into that relationship, do they love Jesus? Not do they believe in God. Not do they go to church. Not if they're a good person, because no one is good outside of Christ. Do they have a relationship with Christ? And if they don't, a relationship with you is always going to be secondary to them. So does the person you're entering into relationship with have a relationship with Jesus? Does the person you enter a relationship into have a foundation built on Jesus? And I just want to say, if they don't enter into relationship. And this is where the other opposition comes in. Well, pastor, what you don't understand is that I can change them. No, you can't. Every bad thing about the person you're dating right now is going to be magnified by 1,000 once you marry them. Right? It just is. Like, no one ever marries like, I keep appreciating all these traits about my partner even more and more the longer I'm with him. No, you won't. You just won't. The bad news I have to bear for you today is you can't change people. And it sucks, I know. You can't change people. The only person you can change is yourself. And so instead of looking for the right one for you, I would just encourage you, change yourself to become the right one for someone else. Because you can't change people. I can lead them to Jesus. I've never seen that work before, by the way. Never have I seen that work. Not once, actually. I've never seen someone who doesn't know Christ lead someone to Christ while they're in a relationship. And if so, sometimes that person that belonged to Christ was like, well, yeah, but I wasn't really following Jesus at that time. I wasn't really taking Scripture seriously. I want you to be able to love people for who they are right now. You see, that's what real love is, by the way. To love your partner that you're entering relationship with for who they are now, not who you desire them to become. Well, pastor, you don't know that I can change him and I can make him the... You can't. You just can't. Choose to love people for who they are now. Who they are now in Christ, not who they could become one day. Well, one day he's going to... One day she'll... That day's not coming. It's not. Love them for who they are now, and if you don't, it's not really love. You love an idea of someone. You don't love who they actually are now in Christ. Can we continue? Come on. Let's go. Let's look and see if we can really build the right kind of foundations in our relationship. So if you're in a relationship and each of your foundations are in Jesus right now, so you say, pastor, I'm in a relationship. Her foundation is in Jesus. My foundation is in Jesus. So we're solid, right? Nope, you're not. What kind of relationship do you have? And if you each have a foundation in Jesus, are you laying the foundations of your relationship in Christ? Not yours, not his, not hers, not mine, but are you laying the foundations of your relationship in Jesus? Because whether you're dating now or if your relationship is complicated or you're married or engaged, no matter how you look at a relationship, you're always playing house. You're always building house. I'm Adam, she's Eve. I'm husband, she's wife. You're always building a house. And as you build the house of your relationship, is the house of your relationship being built on the foundation that is Jesus Christ? Because here's what I want you to know. You build the trajectory of your relationship from date one. Not day one. You build the trajectory of your relationship from date one. And you continue to set the trajectory. You continue to lay the trajectory's foundation, and you continue to build the relationship's house day after day. Here's where some of the practical stuff comes. By the way, if you want to take some notes, if you want to take your phone out right now, take notes, that's cool. It's not time for Bubble Breaker, Words with Friends. What else are kids playing these days? Angry Birds, it's not time for that. It's not time for Minecraft. It's not time for any of that stuff. So here's some practical stuff today. If you're in a relationship and each of your foundations are in Jesus, here's some questions I really want you to ask yourself. And remember I said if you're in a relationship with somebody, would you make sure you're sitting by them now? This is the time. Can you reach out, like literally grab the person you're in relationships with hand right now as you listen to some of these questions. These are for our good. In relationships now, do you have a shared vision for a godly relationship in marriage? Do you have a shared vision for a godly relationship in marriage? If you don't have a shared vision, you're going to each be chasing after your own vision. Those visions might be good, but you need to somehow share and support the other person's vision that they have for a godly marriage. You need to actually ask some tough questions on those dates of what that person thinks a godly marriage is. And ladies, I'll help you out a little bit. Men, we think different than you. I don't know if you've noticed that yet. We think different. We need some instruction when it comes to these things. And so you may assume that your future spouse, your future husband, understands the trajectory of a godly marriage. But unless you begin to speak it, I just promise you, you're going to be on a different page altogether. And it goes the other way around, too. What does it mean to have a godly relationship? Well, Pastor, they came from a really broken home, and so they have no idea. Then let's let God redeem that. Let's let God redeem that. What is the vision that you guys share for where you're going together? Number two, are you praying together right now? I don't want to over-exaggerate this, but I don't believe I've ever asked a married couple if they pray together and have them say yes. I don't think it's ever happened. I don't. Susan, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think I've ever actually heard someone say yes when I asked that question. How could we expect our relationship to ever work unless we're both depending on God together? And what people, men that I talked to about, that they all, because I talk to men and women, here's what men always say. It's just so weird. It's just so strange. And I would say, yeah, it is really weird. It is really strange. And every time I talk to a woman, every single time, here's what she says every time. I wish he would. The guys say, it's just so weird. It's just so strange. And the woman always says, I wish he would. I've never had a woman say otherwise. Never. So men, take initiative. Rise up, lead. Why is it strange? It's because we were supposed to be naked with no shame in a garden before God, and we ended up sinning, and we ended up covering ourselves and hiding from God. And I think the devil would love to remind you of that day. You can't come before God. You messed up the last time you did. You say, well, I'm not Adam, and she's not Eve. Oh, yeah, you are. You'd have been in the same boat. The devil wants to throw it in your face. This didn't work the first time. Oh, well, devil, Christ has redeemed us. Christ has redeemed marriage. He's redeemed creation. He's redeeming creation. And we actually can stand together before God. And we can come to him in prayer. And we can begin to see our lives change. Now, I'm thinking as I'm talking, there's a couple of you couples in here. I've heard about you talk about your prayer life together, and that's awesome. But going back to my original statement, I've never asked someone if they do that and had them say yes. But I can count on one finger the number of couples I've had talk to me about their prayer life before, and they're in this room right now. So are you building your relationship on prayer? Number three, are you reading scripture individually, together, discussing it, memorizing it? Are you doing that together? Are you doing it by yourself? You can never expect to hear from God for your marriage if you're never listening to God to begin with. Some of you want God to show up in a big beam of light and angels singing behind you. And God's like, hey, I got my word in front of you. It's there all the time. You could hear from me anytime you want. I believe in the supernatural words of prophecy and wisdom and knowledge and God revealing to us. But it's not going to happen if you're not in scripture. Just not. And if it does happen, you're not going to be able to know if it's true or not, because you've never read the word of God to find out if it is. And you can be deceived real easy. See, if you want to build a solid foundation, build it. But build it on the right thing. Build it on the word of God. Right now, are you part of a church together? Well, he goes to a different church than I do, and she goes here. Like, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I've never been upset before when one of our women in our church, like, enters into a relationship with a man and gets married with him and leaves our church to go to his. I've never been upset about that before. Like, awesome, that's great. Vice versa, same deal. It's good. But you need to be in community together. And if you think your marriage can stand without community, I'm just here to tell you firsthand, it's not going to work without community. It won't. You will never have people to encourage you, pray for you, challenge you, or notice when they see something is up. You've got to be in community. And one of the first steps that I always see when a Christian couple falls apart or those who claim to be Christian is they disappear from church. There's always an issue there. And is church holding their marriage together? No, absolutely not. But it helps. It helps. So are you in church together? Are you serving? Are you actually giving of yourselves for something outside of your marriage? Are you serving together? Are you encouraging each other to serve? Are you encouraging each other's gifts? Well, Pastor, he can't do any of his things or his gifts because I need to focus on mine. But no. This is a team thing, guys. Encourage each other. Be confident in each other's gifts that God's given to you individually. Are you guys giving together? Are you encouraging to find places to give to? Do you have a shared understanding of giving? And I'm just telling you, these things are important. They're foundational things. And if you're single, develop those disciplines right now. Start laying that foundation now, especially the men, please. If you're single, start laying those foundations. But if you're in a relationship now, I want you to start doing those things together right now, because it's never too late. It's never too late to start doing the right thing. But if you drop these disciplines while dating, and here's something else I see often. I've got 15 years, full-time ministry experience, a lot of life for such a young lad as myself. And if you drop these disciplines while you're dating, it's going to be real difficult to pick them back up. And this is where I see couples really go off the rails. Like, they're just on fire for God. And then once they become on fire for each other, they forget that God was the one who ignited the fire to begin with. And they don't keep burning that fire of God in their life. And their fire starts to fizzle out. And they'll wonder why. And they'll blame the other person. And they'll be disappointed. So that's my wife's fault, Pastor. It was your fault. You both drifted. God says, stay here, guys. Stay focused. Stay on target with these particular disciplines. Bad habits are really easy to start, aren't they? Real easy to start. Bad habits are so easy to start, but really hard to quit. But good habits are so hard to start and really easy to quit. Habits take work, but I promise you, develop new habits, lay new foundations, and the sooner you start, the easier it will be and the stronger your foundation will become. Let's start to drive this home. Matthew 7, last verse we'll officially look at here today. If your relationship is not built on the foundation that is Christ. When the storm comes, pay attention to my choice of words. When the storm comes, what will keep you? What will hold you? What will protect you? And what will get you through the storm? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." What rock is Jesus talking about? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you hear my words, Jesus said, if you build the foundation of your life and your relationships on the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, and the rain fell. Jesus does not say, if the rain falls. He says, when the rain fell, when the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Then he says in verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Storms will come. If you have not experienced a storm in your life, I promise you one is coming. Storms will come. If you have not experienced a storm in your marriage, I promise you one is coming. I was talking to one of my mentors and friends, Dr. David Manick, who has decades of counseling experience. He gave me, like, here's what the storms look like, Anthony. The ones he sees the most in his practice. He said, a child dies. A spouse gets a terminal illness. An affair comes. A child walks away from the faith they thought he had. He says, those are the storms. Those are the storms that come. Mom and dad, your elderly parents die. That's a storm. I've seen that rip marriages apart terribly. Storms will come. Jesus did not promise the absence of storms. Here's what Jesus promised. He promised to be with us. He promised to be our foundation in the storm. And Jesus actually says this. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. In this world, you will face storms. And Jesus says this. He says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And so, with that, you just need to know they're coming. You need to not be naive to that. You need to not dismiss that idea that in this world there will be trouble. So why would you build your relationship on sand when you know that Jesus has overcome the world? Why would you not build your relationship on the foundation that is Christ when you know Christ has overcome the world? And if Christ has overcome the world, he can overcome the death of your child. He can overcome the death of your elderly, aging parents. He can overcome losing the job and the career that you've had for 20 years that sends your husband into a spiraling depression. He can overcome the affair that will come. He can overcome all these things. The addiction that your spouse finds themselves in. Pastor, my spouse would never. Stuff happens, church. Storms come. And we actually don't have the weather channel to tell us when they're coming, unfortunately. We don't, do we? Those of you who've been through storms, you don't know they're coming. But when they come, you better hope that you've got a firm foundation. You see, your relationship, your marriage was built for companionship. It was built for presence. It was built for love. It was built for being together. But your relationship was not built for storms. Did you know that? Your marriage is not built for storms. It never was. And you say, Pastor, what about this house that was built on the sand and it fell when the storm came? It doesn't mean that that house wasn't beautiful. It doesn't mean that that house wasn't beautifully built. It doesn't mean the house wasn't beautifully decorated. It doesn't mean the house wasn't built on love. But if the house isn't built on the foundation of Jesus, who has overcome the world, even the most beautiful of houses will fall when a storm comes. Your relationship wasn't built for storms. Jesus is with us for storms. And what happens is when the storm comes, that she loses her career, that license is taken away, that children, those children, they leave you, child dies, elderly parents die, husband becomes addicted. When those things happen, and if you try to lean on each other, you try to lean on your husband or your wife, I want to tell you something, they won't be able to hold you. And as you try to hold each other up in those crises, you're going to start sinking in the sand together. Because your relationship wasn't built for the storm, the foundation is there for the storm. And when the storm comes, husband or wife, future husband or wife, when the storm comes, you don't lean on your spouse alone. You lean on your spouse and your spouse leans on you as you both lean on Jesus. Because only Jesus can carry that load. And the minute you try to carry on your own, your house is going to fall apart. Is your relationship built on the rock that's in Christ? See, your house may see a lot of damage in that storm, but in Christ, on the foundation, you can make it through any storm. So I invite our worship team up. And I know this is a heavy message. I get it. But this heavy message will rest upon the rock of Christ. And if you feel tension or pressure to hold the weight of this message up on your own, I want to be the first to tell you, you don't have to. Let Jesus hold that for you. And if I could have, if you want to bow your heads and close your eyes, if that makes it easy to not have distraction, then so be it. Could you do that now? We're going to wrap up this service with a song and with some prayer. If I could ask you to just limit your moving around right now, because I think God is shaking some of your foundations today and saying, hey, what are they built on? Is this sand or is it stone? You may have a beautiful house built on sand, and that's good. That's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. But if there's no stone foundation there to hold you together when the storm comes, even the most beautiful of houses will fall. But on the foundation that's in Christ, your beautiful house, it'll take some hits, but it can stand. Couple of years, my wife and I have been married for 20 years this last June. We started dating when I was at the mature age of 15. Now I'm married to a woman in her late 40s, and not really. Very younger 40s. And we've been through a lot together. And our house was and is real beautiful. We built a real good house together. It's got beautiful kids, picket fence, all the right colors, all the right furniture. It's a beautiful house. And even though, like, we have been far from being the ideal Christian individuals and husbands and wives, very early on, we did start laying some foundation. Even before we were married, we'd actually pray together every single day, and that's something we have done since day one. We've served together. We've worshiped together. We've led ministries and churches together. We've led people to Jesus together. We've held people at the hardest times of their lives. Our house, it's beautiful. We decided we were going to give God our first and our best. We loved each other. We did all the right things. But a storm came. And no one could have ever told us, like, hey, here's the storm that's coming and here's what it's going to be. But a storm did come. And here's what I've learned about marriage. And if you think you're immune to a storm, you're not. A storm will come. And don't raise your hand, but how many of you, your marriage no longer exists because of a storm you went through? Like, that's a lot of us. Your marriage doesn't exist because of a storm. How many of you have a marriage that does exist, but you've been through a few storms? And a storm came. In fact, the rain fell. The wind blew and beat upon our house. The waves crashed against the house, and the house took a beating. And if it wasn't for a foundation in Jesus, my wife and I'd be divorced right now, period. Absolutely. Our kids would be in a broken home. And even when you're doing all the right things, storms come. And they'll catch you off guard like you wouldn't believe. But when we had that storm hit, it was only because of a foundation that was already laid that the house still stands. Period. And the house has got some wear and tear now because of the storm. But it's getting put back together. It's got some fresh paint. It's got some new furniture. It's got some new pictures on the wall. It's got a whole lot of memories. But when the storm came and we realized that it was only by the grace of God that the house still stands, there's kind of something that her and I did, whether it was intentional or not. But have you ever seen a house that's been reinforced? Or maybe a building that's been earthquake-proofed before? Why do buildings get earthquake-proof that are old? It's usually because they went through an earthquake. And so we took, you know, long metal rods and we drove them into the ground as that storm was rolling over. And God started to build a stronger foundation that was there before. And you can say, well, Pastor, are you happier now that a storm came? Nope, I'm not. Are you stronger now that the storm came? Yeah. Is your relationship deeper because the storm came? Oh, yeah, it is. Some of you are putting all your effort and energy into trying to detect storms and stop storms. And can I ask you this morning to knock that off? You can't detect storms. You can't stop them. But here's what you can do. Here's the hope, guys. You can keep building your foundation. Keep building your foundation on Christ. And if you haven't done that yet, it's okay to start now. And we never forgot our foundation that we laid when a storm came. But I'm telling you, when that storm came, we were real serious about that foundation. And now years later, it's real easy actually to forget about the foundation. And we have to remind ourselves, let's go back. Let's build. Let's keep these habits up. Let's keep doing this because it's not worth the house falling down. And beautiful, good, strong houses can weather storms. So a storm's going to come, and you got to choose. Do I focus on building foundations, or do I focus on stopping storms? You can't stop storms. God, I thank you for this word today. Do your work that only you can do. Church, listen. I did not just discredit or disqualify any of you if you have a house that broke apart and there's no putting it back together. Hear me very clearly. I did not do that. If your house fell apart, I'm here. Our church is here to rally and help you build foundations. The foundation's what matters, guys. Husbands, wives, divorcees. The foundation is what matters. And I know that some of you did all you could and you worked your butt off to save your marriage. And I am so proud of you for doing that. But sometimes people still walk away. At the end of the day, sometimes we're only responsible for our own foundation that we lay. And I just want to applaud you and say, I'm proud of you for building that foundation because you're still standing. Your marriage might not be, but you're still standing. And that's what's real important. So can you do me a favor and listen carefully when I say there's no shame, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And so if you hear this word today and leave discouraged, just stop. Because I want you to know that as you leave this place today, you can start laying new foundation. The old is gone and the new is coming. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Those of you who are divorced, do you hear that? Please listen carefully. For those of you who are in relationships right now where you're like, hey, I love Jesus, but my spouse does not. The Bible actually talks about that. The Bible says, hey, if you're married to someone who's an unbeliever and if they want to stay with you, stay with them. Stay with them. But it says if they leave, you can't stop them from leaving. And then Paul says this weird thing. He actually says, how do you know that your example for Jesus will not lead them to the Lord? And sometimes we read that and say, I need to stay in this marriage so that I can lead my spouse to Jesus. Paul's actually saying, you don't know if all you're following Jesus is going to lead your spouse to Jesus. He said, that's not your concern. Your concern is love Jesus. Your concern is stay faithful if your spouse wants to stay with you. So if you want to wrestle that out and try to clear that up some, if you've got a spouse right now who's an unbeliever, if you'd like to I'd love to talk with you about that and just show like, hey, stick with them. If they're willing to stay, you stay too. And let's pray that God does something. I do think there's a blessing because of your presence in that marriage. I think there's a blessing where God Paul says like, hey, somehow kids and spouses are covered there. I don't know what that means exactly theologically, but I know there's some good to it. And so don't leave today thinking, my spouse is an unbeliever. I'm leaving him because of this message. Okay? Would you not do that today? Don't do that. But let's talk those things through. Life is not black and white. How many of you learned that right away? Life is not black and white. There's some tricky gray areas we got to march through and hold on to Jesus' hand real tight. God, do something with his word. Here's what I'd like you to do now, church. I believe strongly in this. If you'd say, Pastor, I'm in a relationship right now, and I would like the foundation in Christ to be stronger. Notice I didn't say, we don't have a foundation in Jesus and we want one. I said, if you're in a marriage or a relationship today and you would like the foundation to be stronger, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to grab your spouse's hand. I'd like you to come up front. We're going to pray for all married couples, all couples here today that would like their foundation in Jesus to be stronger. Well, then people will know our marriage is messed up. All your marriages are messed up. We're all in the same boat. Right? Not us, Pastor. We got it together. Man, their storm's coming fast. You better hold on. If you'd like your foundation in Christ to be stronger, would you just stand and make your way up to the front? We're going to enter into a song of worship, but I've asked some of our staff and prayer team just to come and lay hands on you, pray for you, and guess what? As you pray for me, my wife and I are going to be up in the front. We're going to be holding hands. We're going to be asking one of you to pray for us. So if you'd like the foundation of your relationship to be stronger, which could be Lance, like I'm coming up on the stage with Judy. And my wife's doing this. Who? If you're married, you said, like, this is me. I want the foundation of our relationship to be stronger. Husbands, if your wife's not standing up, grab her hand and bring her up here now. Seriously, grab her hand, bring her up here. Don't make your wife take your hand and bring you up here, men. Do not do that. Do not do that. Grab the hand of your spouse. Let's pray for each other. Let's seek God for our marriages. Let's seek God for our couples. We're in this together. Amen? You need help. You need foundation. If your spouse isn't here today, come on up. You need a stronger foundation too. Would you allow us to pray for you? Pastor, we're not married. I didn't ask for married people. I said if you're in a relationship and you'd like the foundation to be stronger, receive prayer. God, we pray for each couple here. We pray, Lord, that the foundations that our marriages are built on or are not built upon would be stronger. Lord, I pray you'd give us a passion for your word as husbands and wives. God, I pray that you'd give us a passion for prayer as husbands and wives. God, I pray you'd give us a passion for serving as husbands and wives. God, I pray you'd give us a passion for vision and mission of our lives and our churches in the name of Jesus in our marriage. God, I pray you give us a passion for blessing and giving and serving in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that as the storm comes, that your foundation would hold on tightly to our basements and our lower floors to hold our houses together. And though the wind may beat upon our houses, we know that they could stand because they're not built on our love, because God, you've showed us love isn't enough. They're built on you. And so God, may our relationships and our marriages not be built on the love we have for our spouse, but be built on the love that we have for you. Lord, if there is a marriage now where there is an unbelieving partner, Lord Jesus, I ask in your name that your Holy Spirit would draw them, love them, equip them, challenge them, convict them to grow stronger in their faith towards you, God. Lord, if there is any relationship, Lord, where a boyfriend or a girlfriend's not here and the person standing wants that to go stronger, God, would you begin to challenge the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the husband or the wife that's not here to step up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that is the foundation that we have, because if we don't have that foundation, we have nothing else. God, for relationships that are broken right now, where there's not new marriages formed outside of those marriages, and if you could do a miracle, do a miracle and bring them back together. Do a miracle. Mend families, mend houses, mend hearts, mend souls. You guys can have a seat when you're ready if you'd like it. I don't think God's done with what we're doing, and we're singing a song here in a second, but I said before that marriages are not more important than single people. Single people are not more important than married people. And there is this fine line in the church where a lot of times single people feel excluded. Please don't do that. If you get married someday, that's cool. If you don't, that's cool too. We don't care about whether or not you're going to get married, single girls especially. Some of you think like the church thinks my only worth is in finding a husband. No, that's not true. That's not true. I'm only a good man or young man if I give my parents grandkids or I marry. No, that's not true either. That is not true. You are valued, loved, and worthy because of Jesus's sacrifice and anointing and calling and salvation over your life. And if God wants you to be married, if you want to get married, it's going to happen. We don't even need to worry about that. We don't even need to pray about that. I'm serious. Like we should, but we don't need to. Your focus has got to be building a foundation in Christ. And if you're here today, and if you're single, you say, I'm not married. Maybe you're even dating someone here, and you're like, I want to be married, and there's no question that's been asked yet. Stand up. You're still single. Okay? If you're single today, and you'd like to have a foundation built very strongly in Jesus so that you can become the person that you need to be, you can become the person God wants you to be, and if God brings you a spouse, awesome, you can be the person that your spouse needs you to be. And if that's you, would you just stand to your feet, stand right where you are. You're single, you say, I want my foundation to be built stronger in Jesus. Well, if I stand up, they're gonna know I'm single. This is our singles ministry, look around. The pickings aren't so slim, are they? Stand up to your feet if you're single, if you want a foundation in Jesus. Ladies, listen up. A man is not gonna make you better. Man, listen up, a woman's not going to make you better. There's one person that can make you better, and that's Jesus, and he can make you better together. Not on your own, but together. You can do this together. So, God, we pray for each person here who's not yet in a relationship. God, if you want them to be, good. If you don't, good. We praise you either way. We're not here to ask for husbands or wives or boyfriends or girlfriends or partners. We're here to ask for you. We're here to ask for a solid foundation to be built on you. God, for each divorced person that's standing right now, God, give them just a double portion of your grace, a double portion of your peace, a double portion of your healing, and let them stand with all confidence in you with zero condemnation in Jesus' name. God, for each single person here who thinks they're never going to find someone, that they're never going to do this or that, or they're always going to struggle with, God, I know their hearts, and I pray you touch their hearts, heal them, and show them the foundation that's really important. You. May it all be you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you all stand? We'll sing.